This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.B. Hilliard.
This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
All right, turn to the person next to you and say, put your seatbelt on this morning.
All right.
All right, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. These are the words of Jesus. And he says, and I will give you rest. We've already talked about this, and we are in a series of lessons on how to fulfill God's plan for my life. How to fulfill God's plan for my life. We've established God has a purpose for every life. Every person on this planet has a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. That purpose has been known in the mind of God from the beginning of time. The Bible says that God told Jeremiah, before you entered into your mother's womb, I knew you. So we can understand that in the mind of our Creator, the purpose for our being has already been established. And then we said in order to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, we had to follow God's plan. So here Jesus is talking about the plan of God to some Pharisees and others who were following him and who were listening to him. And he says to them, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. This has nothing to do with secular work, but this has to do with those who were laboring in the energy of their own might and own strength, trying to religiously know God. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Found out that the yoke is an instrument of direction, so God's going to give some direction to your life. That is what people need. We need some direction to our lives. You'd be surprised at the number of people who have no game plan for their lives. Well, we said that there are four levels of purpose in the human experience. Number one, there's the global purpose on it, and associated with every purpose is a plan. So there's a global purpose and global plan that God has for the entire world. And in this global purpose for the entire world, God has incorporated in it a plan whereby a person will come to know him, come to know God, come to know his son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So it's the plan of God that you come to know him as a Lord and Savior, come into his family. That is the plan of God. Then we said the second level of purpose and plan would be that level of relationship. So now we're in the process of examining our relationship with God, because our relationship with God then dictates and determines and defines our relationship with everybody else. And then after the relationship purpose, there's a situational purpose. God has a plan for every situation you're in. There is not a situation that you will experience for which the plan of God, which is the word of God, for which the plan of God has not already addressed. Amen. And then there is the corporate purpose. And of course, the corporate purpose is lived out in our individual purpose. So those basically, we'll deal with those together when we get to that point. Currently, we're dealing with the relationship purpose. In other words, the plan of God for me to relate to the Father, so I'll know him. After salvation, what's next? After salvation, you should become a part of a local Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. A local Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Television ministries cannot suffice. They're good. We're on television. But it is no substitute for a local Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church where you can fellowship. Even though the people watch us on Sunday morning, watch us throughout our television broadcast audience in other cities and that sort of thing, there's no way I can fellowship with them. You see, in order to fellowship, you got to be with people, you know. so we can't fellowship. However, my assignment is that of a pastor teacher. And so our television ministry is an extension of our teaching ministry. It is not intended to be a substitute for you being a part of a local church. Now, so in the local church, we said that a local church should fulfill four basic needs that I have, or teach me four basic things. Number one, teach me the principles of God so that my life will be transformed, so that I'll be more and more like Jesus Christ. Number two, we've already covered that. Number two, the church should teach me how to function and operate under spiritual authority. I should understand how to function and operate under spiritual authority. Number three, the church should teach me how to support the kingdom of God in the earth realm. What is my obligation? What is my responsibility in the support of the kingdom of God in the earth realm? Number four, the church should teach me how to share the gospel message with others. Currently, we're still at level number three, and we're talking now about the support of the kingdom of God. Hopefully, in today's lesson, and possibly maybe our weekly Bible study lesson, because we're continuing these on in our weekly Bible studies, we'll be able to wrap up this part so that we'll begin to talk about how we are responsible for taking the gospel message to others. Now, today there are several questions that I want to address in our teaching several members have asked, and they've asked them before, and they've asked them, and of course I know they'll ask them again, but relative to tithes and offerings. So let's go there, and now we'll do a very brief review of what we've already covered, but turn with me in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. We have established that giving tithes and offerings is God's plan to prosper us materially and financially. The giving of tithes and offerings is God's plan to prosper us materially and financially. All right, we've already covered the proper motivation. The proper motivation for obeying God, the proper motivation is love. We've already covered that. So if you're just tuning in or you're just getting this audio cassette tape, you've not heard the previous, I think, 8 or 9 lessons we've done before, don't throw a rock at me now because I'm in this portion of it. All right? Because a lot of people have a real problem when you talk on prosperity, when you talk on giving with the expectation of receiving. It is a part of the biblical plan of God and must be taught to God's people. It is not the will of God for you to live in this life without your needs met. You bring no glory to God that way. That is not the will of God. All right, now, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye've robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." We spend a lot of time talking about the tithes, and we'll spend a little time today talking about the offerings. Tithes and offerings. We said and we understood that the tithe is the 10th part. Leviticus 27:30 tells us that that's a holy thing. It is holy unto the Lord, and it belongs to God. So it is the responsibility of every believer to bring the tithe. Amen? Can't get out of it trying to twist the word of God, trying to say that it was under the law. We've already gone through a lesson, and we showed you that it was before the law, and we shared with you how it was incorporated into the law, and then we even showed you in the word of God how tithing existed under the new covenant. So, I mean, you can't talk your way out of it. You just got to obey. Look at the person next to you and say, "You just have to obey God." Now, one of the questions that we hope to address today, and I really believe I can get to it, is what happens when you want to obey God and your mate does not? Glory to God. What happens when you want to give the tithe and your mate does not? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, now, some of y'all don't have that problem because both husband and wives love God. Amen? Some of you don't have that problem because you don't have a mate. You know how blessed you are. See? I mean, it's nothing like having a mate that's not in agreement. That's hell. Y'all know that. Try to act like you don't, you see. That's a real thing. When you got a mate that's not in agreement with hardly anything you do, won't have talk to you, you know, don't want to go with the plan of God. Even some of them, I guess, it's real frustrated when they sit up in church and hear what you hear. They sit up and they hear what you hear. They got their pencils and paper and their notebooks all colored up and Bible all colored up, just like yours is. But yet when they get home, they don't want to do what God says. When it come time to write the check, they go, no, you know, I heard that, but I'm not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? Glory to God. So that can be very frustrating. We want to get to that question today. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Now we have said several things. Let's see if we can't cover our review very quickly. That for every mandate of God, there is a promise of blessings, but there's also an inseparable judgment for disobedience. With every mandate of God, every commandment, as it were, of God, God says, if you obey it, I'll bless you. If you do not obey, you will incur the consequences. And that's just the way it is. That's how the order of God is set up. So then you and I, we've established, will be motivated to either disobey God or obey God as we are influenced by one of four things. Number one, we said, you can be influenced to do what you do. Now, all my young people, if you're sitting next to a young child, a teenager, and that sort of thing, well, really some of these old folk too, huh? But especially my teenagers, I mean, hunch them. Just come on, give them a pop. Say, now, Pastor, won't you listen to this? I want to give you some good, solid wisdom. Now, there's a big thing that goes around, big talk that goes around about peer pressure. Peer pressure. Don't ever think you're going to ever get away from being pressured by those who are around you. There will always be those around you influence you to honor their value system, whatever that system may be or may not be. If you learn to lick it now, if you learn to handle it now, you'll save yourself many days of frustration. Understanding how you must, as a believer, as a child of God, you must take an uncompromising stand on the values of the Word of God. They're non-negotiable. You don't debate them. You stick to them. No matter what your best friend does, you've got to do what God says do. Parents, when you advise your children and counsel with them, you need to tell them that they have an uncompromised standard of the Word of God. If you don't, I'm going to tell you they're going to reach a point where they're going to know, they will try to reason how far to compromise. Well, I'll just compromise a little. I didn't want to say that like that. You say, well, you know, I'll smoke, but I won't inhale. I know what you're going to think, but I really wasn't trying to poke fun at him. You know what I'm saying? I really was. You know, president-elect is all right, you know, so I'm really not into that, okay? But that's what came in my spirit. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, I'll smoke, but I won't inhale. You know, I'll take a social drink. Many alcoholics started out being social drinkers. Now, so you're going to be influenced by one of four factors. Number one, you'll be influenced by the lust of your flesh. That is, doing what pleases you. Number two, and we found out that whenever I'm governed by the lust of my flesh, it's going to end up in destruction. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. You don't have to go there. We've already been there. It said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to his flesh, of his flesh he'll reap corruption. If he sows to his spirit, of the spirit he'll reap life everlasting. So I must understand that when I do what I want to do and go against God, go against the values of God, that I am endangering my life, my purpose for being. I'm endangering God's plan for my life. Amen? Amen. All right. Number two, I can be influenced by satanic thoughts. Now, these satanic thoughts can be direct assaults on your mind from the forces of darkness, or you can pick up your phone, call the 1-900 number, and talk to those witches. Glory to God. Number three, you can be influenced by the carnality of your mind. What is the world's wisdom on what you're doing? And there are a lot of people getting thrown off with that. Just because society says it's all right doesn't mean it's all right. See, television has caused people be able to present their wicked side. And they can dress their wickedness up say it's all right. Homosexuals and gays do it all the time. Get on there and dress it up, you know, and say, well, research has proven that we were born this way. Well, who did the research? So they want to make themselves right, make themselves a minority, when the bottom line is that's already been addressed. It's sin. That's all it is. It's sin. It's sin and it's wickedness. No different than fornication and adultery. It's just sin. Let's just call it that. Let's not try to dress it up, make it right. It's wrong. Do you feel sorry for me? No, I don't feel sorry for you. Because there's a plan. Do I feel sorry for an adulterer? No, I don't feel sorry for him. That word's got the plan. I put them all in the same bag. So I'm not a gay basher. I'm a preacher. Follow me? That's it. I'm just a preacher. Are you welcome at this church? Most certainly. You can come just like you are, but you won't leave the way you came. It's all good. I mean, because the word of God's going to do something in your life. You sit under this word of God, I mean, you're going to get to seeing what God says about you, and then you're going to forget all that other foolishness. Amen. All right, now, spend a little more time on that than I really wanted to. All number four, you'll be guided by the Spirit of God. And when you're guided by the Spirit of God, the Bible declares that that's where you'll receive life. That's what's going to work out for your betterment. So then, all my young people and all, everybody, really, you know, you've got to have a non-negotiable standard that you're going by God's word, no matter who says what, no matter what your friends do, you're a child of God. You understand that. You know what the word of God says, and you're not going to compromise. All right. Now, remember we said that your natural actions will trigger or set in motion a spiritual principle or law that will affect your life either negatively or positively. So when you obey God, then you set in motion the plan of God to bless your life. Look at the person next to you and say, when you obey God, you set in motion the plan of God to bless your life. Amen. All right, now, remember we said now, you might want to write this down because we covered it in our weekly Bible study and did not necessarily cover it, I don't think, in last morning's lesson. That when I give, I then have the right to claim the promised benefits for giving. When I give, then I have a right now to claim whatever promise that God has said is attached to that kind of giving. When I give. But even though the promise, I have a right to the promise, the promises of God don't automatically come to pass. Now, I'd advise you to get the tape from last Thursday night. Because in that we showed those who watch the television, you're just calling, ask for this particular tape. What many people lose sight on is they think that whatever the Lord wants to do, he's going to do. And that sounds good. But the promises of God don't automatically come to pass. No more than a person who's lost, who says, well, if I'm going to get saved, I'm going to get saved. No. You're not going to get saved until you do what God says do to get saved. So we said this, that when I give, I have the right to claim the promise. And my faith releases God's power to cause the promise to come to pass. That's why people give and they never receive. Because they haven't been taught how to use their faith to receive. That's why people give. And if they don't know how to receive, then they won't receive. You see, healing is just like healing. Healing is already, the Bible says, the children's bread. It's already ours. But if nobody teaches you and tells you how to receive your healing, then you won't be healed. You won't experience the manifestation of it in the here and now. You follow me? That's the same way on giving. That if nobody teaches me how to receive, and remember we said the giving process is not complete until receiving takes place. So if I'm giving, I ought to receive. And I ought to receive more than what I gave. Because we don't swap money with God. Luke 6:38, turn that quickly. Now, for many of you as you're going there, for many of you, I mean, it will be a mind-renewing process for you. And that is my role as your pastor. to give you the information from the word of God so you can renew your mind. You can let the carnality of this world and you can let the lust of your flesh tell you this is a game and decide, I'm not going to do that. There's nothing I can do. Because, see, I already understand it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict you, not me. My responsibility is to give you the word. That's why I can tell you the word and smile all at the same time. All right? Now, Luke 6:38 says what? Give and what'll happen? Shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So you see that? I mean, you got to see that I don't swap money with God. So I don't give a dollar and expect a dollar back. God multiplies. See, even addition is too slow for God. He multiplies it. Scripture always deal with hundred folds and double fold and all that sort of thing because God multiplies it. All right, now, so then I must understand this because this is real critical because many people don't really believe that they're supposed to expect to receive when they give. They don't believe that. And so as a result, they're not releasing their faith. You got to release your faith. There are promises associated with giving all through the Bible. Now we're going to look at four kinds of giving in the scripture. And basically our church functions by these four kinds of giving. And then we're going to talk about releasing faith as you do them. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 26. We'll look there first and you'll see that this confession thing that we do as we're giving is not some new thing. That the children of Israel were instructed that when they gave their tithes, their offerings, that at that moment they were supposed to make a confession unto God. They were to say something about what they were doing and what their expectations were. All right? And you have to look at it in the Word of God so you can see that nobody's making this up. We have a lot of people who come to our church, and they may come to our church for, you know, first time, and then when after we are not during the process of giving, we raise our offerings, or many times people don't raise their offerings, but we go through our confession, our financial confession. You did it today. Well, a lot of people, what is this? Why is that important? Well, it's important because that's how I release my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's Romans 10:17. Faith starts where the will of God is known, when I know what the word of God says. Faith is released, the power of God is released by the words of my mouth. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips. Words of your mouth. So when I'm giving, remember, now I have a right to claim the promise. I can't stop there. If I expect to receive, I've got to go on and claim the promise, and I do that with the words of my mouth. That's how I release my faith. All right? Now let's see if the people on the old covenant were doing this. All right? Are you there in chapter 26 of Deuteronomy? Look at verse 5. Well, let's start at verse 3. It says, And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and shall say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Assyria, ready to perish, was my father. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our Father, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and into thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So this constitute their confession. What they were saying, where they had been, what God had promised, and what they were expecting to receive. Amen? This is the principle here. All right, now, so there are four levels of giving that I see the New Testament believer is responsible for. Now, we've just basically covered one, the tithe and the offering. Now, for the tithe, go back to Malachi chapter 3 and 8. Let me share with you what you're supposed to release your faith, or what you can release your faith for. Now, if you don't want to, you don't have to. You know, if your heart is just set on, I'm going to give and I don't expect anything in return, then that's fine. But there are other people who want to receive, and I'm obligated to share with them how to receive. All right. It says, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Underline, prove me. God said, this is what you can prove. You can test this. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not, here's his promise, I'll do what? Windows of heaven. Now, the windows of heaven, it's not money falling out of heaven. Y'all know that, right? The very word windows symbolically imply vision. Windows, something you can see, something outside, inside. Windows, separation. Now, I have a classic illustration I normally use. Let's see if I can do it. Brother Ron, will you help me very quickly? Go to the door. Brother Ron says we don't have a physical window that you can see out of here. Brother Ron, would you go to the door and look out of one of the windows? Just open the door there. And now everybody else, you look straight this way. Thank you. Now, Brother Ron, tell me what you see out of the window. He sees cars. All right, what else do you see, Brother Ron? Trees. What else do you see, Brother Ron? Grass. What else do you see, Brother Ron? Concrete. What else do you see, Brother Ron? What? Sky. All right. That's good, Brother Ron. I'm running out fast. All right. Now, stand there, Brother Ron. Stand there. Keep the door open. Stand right there looking out of the window. Now, how many of you can see all of that from where you're sitting? You can't see it because the window, as it were, the door, as it were, is not open for you. As a tither, thank you, Brother Ron, you will have insight, you will have wisdom, you will have spiritual direction other folk don't have. As a tither, I'll never be stumped. I'll never be to the place where I don't know what to do because God's promised me insight, wisdom. And that's what I confess. Even on your job, you can confess you'll always come up with the answer to the problem. You're a tither. All right, I'll open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. You know it's not talking about money. You know you always got room to receive more money. It couldn't be talking about money, right? You can make room for money. Come on, you know you can. If they gave you $1 billion, would you have room? Yes. And they wanted to give you another billion on top of that, would you have room? You know this is not talking about you won't have room enough to receive. You always have room enough to receive it. But you'll have so many opportunities available to you as a tither that you'll have to just decide. You'll have so many things you could take advantage of that you'd have to really pick and decide. Now, do I want to do this? No. I just got so many things I could do, so many opportunities. I just don't have room enough. I just can't do them all. Do you understand? Now, that's where you can be in life. But now, in order for that to come to pass, you got to confess it out of your mouth. Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by what? The word of God. But faith is released by the words of my mouth. Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believeth. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Or confession is made unto that which you believe. That is the principle. Do you understand that? All right, let's move on the tithe. Just hear this promises to the tithe. It says, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, thou shalt be ruined, receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So he's talking about whatever's eroded in your peace. Whatever the enemy has no right then for on a tithe, he has no right to destroy your peace. Amen. He has no right to destroy your plans. And as a tither, you can stand on this. Say, God, I'm a tither. Are you listening? The devourer cannot steal from me. You said it. He cannot cause my plans to go unfulfilled. I am a tither. Are you listening? Now, what do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose by confessing this. You don't have a thing to lose, do you? You got to get a tithe anyway. Because God says so. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to tithe anyway because God says so. I mean, you don't tithe, you disobeying God, and then verse 9 is yours. You know what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, you got to tithe. You got to do that. Because God says so.
Amen.
So since you got to do it, you might as well claim the promise God attached to it. You know what I'm saying? So you might as well. All right. Now, it goes on to say, and all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So when folks start saying, you know, he think he's rich. He says, all right, let him say it. Amen. Let him call it on you. Let him call it on you. You know, they started a long time ago talking about it. You don't tell. See, a lot of people think people send me personally thousands of dollars because I'm on television. That's why the people think I'm on television. They think I'm on television because, you know, when I'm on television, people see me just write out thousands of dollars of checks and just send them to me. You see, that's what people think. That's not true. I don't get one dime of an offering, love offering to me because I'm on television.
Amen.
Not one penny.
Amen.
Any money sent for television ministry offering goes directly to the payment of the bills.
Amen.
So if I wasn't on television, just pastoring you all, I'd make the same thing I'm making. But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of preachers, so what they do, they say, yeah, that Hilly, he getting rich off of television. He's just getting rich. Look at him. He got on another new suit. Look at him. They don't know. I change up a tie, make a suit look new, you know. That's all right. That's all right. You know, and then Christian brothers start, you know, supplying my clothes. And basically, he doesn't give them to me. You know, I pay a little something for him. You know, don't pay for what everybody else pay. He just decided, you know, he's not even a member of this church. That brother's not, he's not even a member of this church. But he saw me on television wanting to do it. Well, glory to God. A lot of preachers got mad with him. Start talking about him because he was doing that for me. See? But then people just start talking about it. They start calling and say, yeah, that's here. Yeah, here. You look at him. He says, look at him. He just look rich. And they be saying that. See, I don't stop him. I say, yeah, keep saying it. I just agree. I agree with you. Bible said they ought to call me blessed. They ought to call me blessed. They ought to look and say, I'm blessed. See, now I'm going to tell you what happens to you when somebody say, child, you sure looking good. You go, well, it's an old dress. You start talking it down, you see. I just get right in agreement. Yeah, praise the Lord. Your God's so good to me. Taking care of me. I'm his child. That's how you get in agreement with that. Quit talking yourself down. Don't have a pitiful mouth, all right? All right. Now, let's go to another kind of giving. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Ooh, hurry, hurry, hurry. Mark chapter 10. This is giving for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake, to spread the gospel. Look at the promise associated here. I'll start there at verse 28. What had happened, a rich man had come, and Jesus told the rich man to give an offering. Rich man went and walked away because he had great possessions. And then Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so the disciples, when they heard that, they got all upset. And the reason those guys got upset, because the disciples, they had money. They did. Disciples were not broke. They weren't broke by any means. Jesus wasn't broke. That's another lesson altogether. Jesus couldn't have been broke. He financed his entire ministry.
Amen.
You know, for 3.5 years, taking care of at least, we know, 12 grown men. You know, you got 3 children, you know, they stretching you. Glory to God. So we understand and we know that Jesus was not poor. But now look at what Jesus says here. Here's a promise that he makes. And I want you to look at this. Verse 23. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lord, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that left house or brethren, a sister or father or mother, a wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Verse 29, 28, verse 28, 29. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 28, 29. All right, so he says, for my sake or the gospel, the latter part of verse 29, verse 30, but he shall receive what? 100-fold. When? Now, in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, father, children, lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, that's a promise. Jesus says this. Now, see, the thing about it is, people let their natural mind take over here and say, how is that possible? Now, he's not saying you're going to receive 100 mamas. Or 100 wives. But he is saying what a mother can be into your life. This is something money came by. He said you'll receive 100, what the 100-fold is the completeness. He's saying what a mother would give into your life, what a father would give into your life, you'll have an overabundance of it. Glory to God. See, money came by then. You got a whole lot of rich parents, but they're not parents to their children. Don't have time to love them. All right? But he's saying this. Now he says, but now let's not excuse the part that he is talking about. He says, you shall receive 100-fold, you know, now in this time, houses, brethren, houses. If you give up a house, the 100-fold represents completeness, the complete return, that you can't get any greater return than 100-fold return. You follow me? So he's not necessarily saying you'll get 100 houses. Amen. I'm gonna give up one house and I'm gonna get 100 houses. All right? But he's talking about anything that a house can be and can have. You will be completely satisfied. All of your needs met in that light. Are you listening? 100-fold completeness is what he's saying. He makes, so you can't give up anything. You give up a dollar, don't you think you lost? Now, when you're giving for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake, that is to spread the gospel. That's what it's about. So you ought to give for TV. Now, those of you who are watching me by television, the greatest gift you could give, the gift for the expansion of the gospel, spreading the gospel like I'm doing now. Your life's being blessed. You watch the television ministry. You should send an offering. Write me, Pastor Hilliard, P.O. Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77067. Make your checks payable to Light Ministries, and ye shall receive 100-fold return. Glory to God. Amen. Well, Kim, I'm expecting your letter. All right. Now, let's move on now. Let's look at another kind of giving. So we look at giving for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake. So when you check your box in our manner of giving, that box that says television ministry, when you give for television ministry and when you sacrifice for television ministry, these brothers here, look at these brothers who work our cameras, they don't get paid, but they're giving up something for television. They're giving up something to spread the gospel, not just for television ministry, but in other ministries when people give up what they give up to make sure others get the gospel, the word of God says God's going to give you a 100-fold return on it. So you're not going to lose. All right, now, turn with me in your Bibles and let's go to the support of the poor, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, giving for the poor. From time to time, we will have gifts for the poor. We'll give you the opportunity to give to the poor. But just because we may not have a corporate opportunity for you to give to the poor doesn't mean that you are not obligated, that you are relieved of your obligation to give to the poor as the Spirit of God leads you. All right, and here's how you do it. Verse 1, it says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men, or his gifts to the poor, alms given to the poor before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And I really, really wish they could get the news media to understand this, because every time at Christmas, they give something to people. Then they go to the people's house with all the cameras and everything. And I always say, when I look at, they have their reward. They have their reward. And they're giving it to the people, and they're smiling for the camera, have their canned speeches already made. Look at what we're doing for the poor. These poor, destitute people, they would be without if not for us. They have their reward. God says God's folk don't do it like that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before men. Don't get on television, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. We help people all the time. We don't get up here and talk about it. We don't bring them here. What did the church do for you? Yes, you were. You, yes, that's right. You didn't have a thing. You was down there in the dirt. And what did Pastor here do for you? Yes, he came to your rescue, didn't he? Tell the people. No, we don't do all that foolishness. All right. But when thou doest thine alms, let not the right left hand know what the right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in what? In secret. That thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee how? So if you give to the poor, you do it privately in secret. God rewards you how? Open. God does what? He rewards you. You'll be rewarded for giving to the poor. So you don't give a suit to somebody and then whisper and say, did you see that suit he had on? I gave him that. See them shoes she got? Look at them. Look at them real close. Have you seen them somewhere before? You've seen them somewhere, haven't you? And the person said, no, I've seen it. Yes, you have. Look at them. Look real close. You remember I used to have them shoes. Yeah, she got something just like you. No, those are not just like mine. I gave them to her. You see that dress that little baby got on? I gave them that. You have your reward. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. How many know God got good credit? The Bible says, if you give to the poor, you'll not lack anything. So when you give to the poor, you have a right now to claim the promise. God, I'll never go lacking because I give to the poor. And I confess it every day. God, I've given to the poor, given to those who are in need. Did not sound the trumpet on it, Lord. Gave it in secret. Now, Father, I expect you to reward me openly. I expect everybody to see the blessings on my life as a result of the reward that you've given me because I've given to the poor. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to this. Hallelujah. Amen. Knowing how to confess God's word over the gifts that I give. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This one will probably shock you a little bit because not everybody, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Not everybody has a right to this promise. The promise there in Philippians chapter 4, 19. Are you there? Quickly. All right. It says, but my God shall what? Supply all your needs. Now here's the key. This is what makes this verse so special. It's so special because of the quality of by which God will supply your needs. He'll supply your needs according to, look now, his what? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So now this is a promise to the believer that his needs will be met in a first class manner. Amen. Two men go to the store and they will go to the shoe store to shop for their children. And they will spend money according to how much they have. If one man makes $250,000 a year and another man makes only $10,000 a year, the man who makes $250,000, all things being equal, can buy a better grade of shoe for his children and more of them. A shoe, by and large, is a shoe. What can you do in a shoe? Walk in it. So the need would be met in both cases. A new shoe on the foot. However, you know, quality of shoes are different. Now, you can say they're all the same, but you just have to put on the right shoe. See?
Ask people, there's nothing wrong with, people go and buy all these expensive shoes. And, wherever I am, if I'm in Walmart or Kmart, wherever I pick my, I just pick my shoes up. And that's fine if that's where you are, that's what you want to do. But, that's just like saying all rides and all cars is the same. And you know that's not right. See, now people get looking off. See, they look real off now. See, they just start looking real off at me like, what's he talking about? I didn't say where you bought your shoes, and it doesn't matter with me where you bought buy your shoes. You follow me? But, there are different qualities that go in some shoes that don't go in others. And they wear long, some shoes wear longer because of the quality that they are. I got some shoes I've had for 5-6 years. I think the shoes I've got on I've had for about 5 years. But see, I didn't pay $10 for them. They wouldn't hold up. You follow what I'm saying? Don't look at me like that. See, why y'all look at me like that? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Why y'all look at me like that? Give me that old discouraged look. I can only use myself as an example. That's safe. I won't use you because then you get all mad. What did he tell everybody to look at my shoes for? I mean, I didn't know he's going to do that. I would have worn my other pair. So I have to use myself. Now, just get the point now. Get the point. The quality of. So now you have a right to claim this promise to go first class in life. Now, a lot of people say, why you go first class? Even when you fly. I don't care what you say, flying first class is much more comfortable than flying coach. Now, I used to fly coach all the time and then say, plane sit down, coach get there first. the plane always lands like this, Coach, we get there first, And, it costs extra to be in first class, And then one day I wanted to fly first class. Their seats were bigger and everything. I don't drink. They have free liquor up there, but, they don't help me a bit, I kind of, in my mind, wonder how would it be to fly first class? It was just enough for me to just try to get my money to go second, go in the coach, And then one day I had a member. And the member said, Pastor, I was flying somewhere, and he came and said, look, Pastor, what I want to do is I'm going to see if they'll let you fly first class. If first class is not full, then, I'm going to go, I'll be at the desk, and I'll tell you, my pastor, see if they'll let you fly. And he did. And I flew first class. And the seats were big. Big old nice plush seat, and they have time for you in first class. See, and the coach said, "What you want?" And coach, "What you want?" Okay, here you go. What you want? What you want? See? And coach, you're struggling trying to get your stuff up there. They just look at you and they're like, hurry up. We got to come on. First class, you look like you're even struggling at all. They just, let me help you. Let me help you. I say, this is all right. I got a taste of it and say, glory to God. Raise my level of faith so I can fly first class. Amen. And then, what I did was, once I did that, all our ministers who fly in here for us, we fly them all first class. Now, Philippians 4:19. Oh, hurry. Yeah, north side, south side be going. Where is he? All right, now, 4:19. Here's a problem. Here's how you can do that. Now, it says you have to back up to verse 15 to understand this.
It says, this is Paul writing. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but what? But ye only, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, this is a promise to those who will have a sincere care for the ministry. Now, I'll show you that. He says now, verse 15, now you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, he says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with what? Me. Now that word communicate, underline that. That word communicate comes from a word that means to give, to share with. Doesn't mean to talk to share with. Communicated with me, share with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again, Paul said, you sent once and again to take care of me. To my necessity, underline that, say my necessity, talking about Paul's necessity. Not because I desire gift, the gift was given to Paul, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And then he goes on to say, because you've done this, my God shall supply all your needs. Now, this is for those who will take a sincere care of the ministry. This is what it's about. Now, most ministers don't preach it because they ain't got the guts to preach it. Because see, all people think ministers want is your money anyway. So they wouldn't dare preach this, but this is true. I found this out a long time ago. And even when my pastor, I'm on a love offering here. You have the ability here to give directly to your pastor by way of the envelope, you know, the pastor's compensation fund. But the church I grew up, my pastor was on a salary. And that's fine. That's how God told the guy to set it up. That's great. I have no problem with that. God told me to set ours up different. And it's not the only one way it's set up, okay? But this is how God told me to set it up. And so every member has the opportunity and, yea, the obligation to support pastor. Now, I can't make you give. But here's a promise to those who will. Now, a lot of people look at pastor and preacher and say, well, he don't need nothing. He don't need nothing. He don't work. Get a real job. Get a real job. All right? And so I believe God understood that would be the attitude many people would have. So he had to put a little motivation in here so that his preachers wouldn't starve. Because some folk will starve you. Like I can go to the store and say I'm a preacher and walk out with groceries. Serious. I go to the store, and I tried that. I went to the store. I did. Long time ago, I tried to go to the store, got all my food, and they rang them all up. I said, well, you know, I'm a preacher. And you know, I started putting my stuff in the bag, like, you know, getting ready to go. She looked at me like, the lady didn't know what to do. You know, before she called the manager, I went on paid her, you know. But she, you know, she was getting ready to call the folks on me. Because I told you know, I'm a preacher, you know. So I just wanted to see if it would work. Some people must think it do, but I wanted to see if it would work. So I said, I'm a preacher. And I just started putting my bags, and she had ringed them all up, and the bagger guy put them all in the bag, and I started putting them in the buggy to take them out the door. They wouldn't let me go. So now God knew that people would have that attitude toward ministry. So he put a little motivation in here for those who would. Now before, my pastor was on a salary, but Bridget and I, we even do it today. We give money directly to ministers to support them. Amen. We do that because we want to claim this promise that we go first class in life, Amen. That we eat first class, we drive first class, we wear first class. We do it because, now we haven't always been able to do it, but we claimed the promise. When we saw the promise, we claimed it, we confessed it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So don't get upset because some people can go first class. What you need to do, and you don't have to fake first class. And now some people, you know, driving, you know, first class cars and they can't handle it. Don't get mad. I don't know who you are. Spirit of God just told me to say it. I mean, you driving the car, but you know, you can't handle it. You really wish you had you Ford or something like that, you know. You really do, you know. And Ford ain't nothing wrong with Ford, you know. You know what I'm saying? Y'all with me? You know, but you went and got a Mercedes or something like that, you know. And
You know, and them cars cost. And some of them ain't worth it. You know, excuse me, Brother Ken. Brother Ken's all of Dilly. Yeah, got good cars and that sort of thing. But, you know, I mean, if you can't afford it, don't do it. Wait till you can afford it. Don't get it and try to fake it. And ain't nothing wrong with Brother Ken's cars.
Amen.
Brother Ken has got, have several members got cars from Brother Ken. Amen. Brother Ken is a tither. Amen. Check my box, boy. Now, you know I didn't mean that in any derogatory way. You know I didn't. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, some people will take what I said and go the wrong way with it, and it wasn't done in that light. But now here's the promise. Now here, and I'm going to have to stop. And I didn't answer the question. But I'm out of time, you know. So can I just give you a throw out the answer? We all appreciate that just like we say in the neighborhood, chunk. Can I just chunk out the answer, then next week come back to you? Okay, here's it. Let me chunk the answer out. And then I'll come back and give you scripture. This will not make it on television because I don't want to chunk out nothing on television, right? But for you here, if your mate doesn't want to give, okay, let's handle it two ways. If you are tithe and your mate says, okay, so it's all right for you to tithe, but I'm not, then the question is, does that affect me? Well, no, it doesn't affect your return. In fact, God blesses the wicked because of the righteous. I'll show you that in the case of Jacob and Laban. Laban said, look, I've been blessed since you're here, man. Don't leave. Now, but the other case arises. Now, your mate will not receive, will not have those intangible blessings. You can have money and still not have peace. Your mate can keep all that money, but they won't have an ounce of peace. And that's something money can't buy. And I'm going to show you that out of the Bible about the fruits of your righteousness are sown in peace. And that your fruits of righteousness increase when you give. Are you listening? Now, what happens then if my mate won't let me tithe? Well, God's grace covers you. So you will not reap the curse, but at the same time, you won't reap the benefits of having tithe either. Because of authority, you submitted yourself to the authority of your husband. And in that case, that's the higher principle, that authority that you submitted yourself under. Then no, the curse won't come upon you because you're in a place of protection because you submitted to authority. But at the same time, the curse is going to come on your husband. That's just it. I mean, that's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. He warns you not to get hooked up like that. Are you with me? Now, here's the other thing. That is why if your husband is not tithing and you are tithing, you need to do everything. And if your husband is not tithing, you're tithing, you need to do everything you can in intercession to bring him over into God's plan. If he won't let you tithe in the same way, even more so, you need to do everything you can in intercession to bring him over into God's plan. Now, when I teach it, I'll show you how, I'll be sharing with you how that ought to be done. Because the Bible says you've got grace to handle that. Forever, whatever situation you're in as a believer, God gives you grace to handle it. Glory to God. Now, so that's my chunked out answer. Now let me close. It's going to close with Peter. And Peter had a decision that he had to make one day. The decision Peter had to make is that he had been doing things his way and it had not worked. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus came up to him and said, Peter, let me use your boat. Now, how's the person next to you and say, you know, come alive. Jesus said, Peter, let me use your boat.